numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Brian Ortega in the producer's chair, in for Wyatt Tomchek, who was in for Kelly Bidlin. Yep. It's a whole thing.
Third guy on the bench.
No, man. Always first in our hearts, Brian. Brian, for those who don't know you, just remind us of the podcast that you do, because you are a bit of a man about town here in Las Vegas.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Concierge Confidential, that's the name of it. It's bi-weekly. And, yeah, we're just kind of going around town and trying to sort of highlight tips and tricks of the city. The last one I did was about tipping in Las Vegas and kind of went into how much you should tip, who you should tip, and what's expected. So that's helpful.
You'll hate me when it comes to that subject.
No, you're good.
Because I don't believe in blanket tipping like some people do.
No, that's good. And it's really for people who don't come to Vegas very often. Okay. Like, you're a Vegas...
I believe in super generous tipping, but I just don't believe in blanket tipping. Anyway, the podcast, because Brian raced through it, Concierge Confidential. Wherever podcasts are distributed. Do you have some restaurant recommendations for us throughout the show today?
Oh, yeah. I'll have one whenever you ask for one, I'll give
beautiful.
You one.
Any sushi recommendations? People really seem to be fixated on sushi spots. We'll get into that a little later. So Ortega's here to give us some thoughts on restaurants if you happen to be flying into Las Vegas throughout the show today. Obviously, it's Unscripted with the Crack Man, hour number two. Bill Krakenberger back in studio after his Eastern Seaboard journey. Up and down, the Masters, Hilton Head. He's back in studio with us, Unscripted. We'll talk Oakland A's with him and other random topics, I suppose. It's Unscripted. Andy McNeil will join us to talk Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night, four more games of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Hurricanes, as he pronounces it, Carolina Hurricanes, taking the 2-0 lead on the New York Islanders. They win it 4-3 in overtime, a high sticking that was not called. That allows the Canes, a shot to the face, was not called. The Islanders get the shaft literally there, and the Hurricanes take the 2-0 lead in that best-of-seven series. But the other three were tied up at one apiece. Panthers take down the Bruins 6-3. Panthers, who beat the Bruins, one of the few teams that beat them multiple times this regular season, and Andy's got his bets on the Bruins, and I said it before the series, Bruins got to be nervous. You win 65 games, then you got to win 16 more. You go back to zero. They admitted they were nervous, knotted up at one apiece now as the Panthers tie that up. Stars tie up their series with the Wild. Great game one. Stars rolled them yesterday 7-3, although it got close at one point. And then the Oilers got close at one point with the Kings last night, but they managed to knot up their best of seven series, one game apiece. Tonight is really what we're going to talk about with Andy, which is four games where the home team, the home favorite, got not just beat in game ones, but crushed. And so the Leafs, the Devils, the Lanch, and the Golden Knights all have to stand up tonight, or they face a 0-2 deficit, a 2-0 deficit, heading back to their opponent's home ice. Now, I know home ice advantage in hockey, not the same as home field or home court in other sports, but still, we'll get Andy's thoughts on all four of those games tonight. Lightning, Leafs, Rangers, Devils, Kraken, Avalanche, and the Jets and the Golden Knights. Also, JVT on the NBA, he will join us as well. Chris Felica will find out what he's betting. But in terms of the NBA with JVT, last night, trio of games, the Grizzlies without Ja Morant, no Ja in the end. He was really listed as it was one of these things where he was going to be a game-time decision. A lot of people thought, oh, he'll show up. No, he didn't. No Ja, no problem for the Memphis Grizzlies. Lakers trailed by as many as 20 in this game. After the Lakers took game one, they trailed by as many as 20. They got as close as 6 on 4 different occasions. But Xavier Tillman was the key player for the Grizzlies last night. 22 points, 10 of 13 from the field. Those 22 points, his career high, regular season or postseason. 13 boards on top of that. Jaren Jackson Jr., 18-9. Desmond Bane, 17. Dylan Brooks, he just added the schmack talk to the whole proceedings. Grizzlies win by 10. Dylan Brooks, by the way, on his constant confrontations with LeBron James. Quote, I don't care. He's old. I poke bears. I don't respect someone until he gives me 40. That's not very nice. Just really respect your elders. So that series knotted up at one game apiece. LeBron, 28-12 in defeat. Achimura, once again, Rui Achimura. Washington Wizard great, Rui Achimura. 29 in the first game, 20 in this one. First Lakers reserve since 1996 to go back-to-back 20-point performances. That Laker reserve in 1996, Magic Johnson, towards the twilight of his career. AD 13, but only on 4 of 14, shooting from the field, 9 boards and defeat. So the Grizzlies, who lost home court advantage in Game 1, they get back to a 1-1 tie as that series heads back to the Lakers. Jaws' situation still very much in doubt after he got hurt. His wrist, landing on his wrist, putting all his weight on that wrist in Game 1, trying to sky over AD. Adjusted series price. Now, remember, this was a really tight series price, the tightest of all of them pre-flop. Then when the Lakers won Game 1, they soared into being a big favorite. Now it's Lakers minus 150, Grizzlies plus 130. Some of our friends like Drew Densick, who are heavily invested in the Grizzlies, super happy about that result last night. Then Milwaukee without Giannis. Giannis was listed as doubtful. Then he was upgraded after this show to questionable. Everybody thought, oh, he's definitely playing. He didn't play. No Giannis, no problem. Bucks, 138 to 122 over the Heat. As they finally said, all right, enough of this Heat stuff. 24-2 Bucks run that took a 51-41 game and over a 3-minute, 32-second span made it 75-43. And at that point, it was KD barred the door. Most points the Bucks have scored in a playoff game since 1978. Lopez, 25. Heat had no answers for Brooke Lopez. 12 of 17 for the field, 25 points. Drew, 24 points, 11 assists, and Connaughton adding 22 off the bench, 6 from 10 from behind the arc. Butler with 28, Bam with 18 in defeat. Bucks not up that series at one game apiece. Bucks return to being an even bigger favorite. Obviously, they started here at $11, now at a 1-1 tie in this series, with Giannis expected, I would imagine, to be back if he was upgraded to questionable before last night's game. I'm making that assumption. Bucks minus 450 on the series price now. Heat plus 320. We'll talk to JVT about all these. And then finally last night, Denver gets it done. Got dicey there for a second against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That game looked to be a snoozer last night. And it looked like Denver was just going to coast to a 2-0 lead in that best of seven first round series. They led by as many as 21, did Denver, 53-32. They were up 15 at the half. T-Wolves trailed 70-55 with 9:40 left in the third quarter. Then a 14-0 T-Wolves run cut it to 70-69. The T-Wolves actually took the lead 81-80. First time since the 9-minute mark of the first quarter. Then they led 99-98. Denver then went on a 15-4 run late to take the 113-103 lead with 3:14 left, and they coasted in from there. Jamal Murray, Bubble Murray, is back. Remember how great he was in the bubble of 2020. He dropped 40. Jokic, 27-9-9. Anthony Edwards, 41 in defeat. Nuggets up on the T-Wolves. The number one seeded Nuggets, who many of us have, I'll raise my hand, probably haven't given enough dap to. Not enough juice in all this. Nuggets take the 2-0 lead. They hold serve both of their home games. Tonight, though, we'll get into JVT with these three primarily. This gets real interesting tonight because, at least in two of these series, first one maybe not so much, Philly with a 2-0 lead over Brooklyn. That's the first game tonight. Philly's a 4.5-point road favorite in this one, trying to, for all intents and purposes, close the door on the Nets if they took a 3-0 lead. Nets will have something to say about that. But then it's Game 3, Kings and Warriors, no Draymond Green. As you very well know tonight, Warriors still favored by 5.5. NBA Executive Vice President, Head of Basketball Operations, Joe Dumars, former bad boy with the Pistons, said Draymond Green's excessive and over-the-top actions in his history as a repeat offender were instrumental in the league's decision to suspend him for Game 3 of this first-round series against the Kings. No one loves the Warriors as much as I do, and I support that decision. Sure, Draymond got to stop. And then it's Game 3 of the Suns and the Clippers, which I'm sure we'll get into with JVT the most because he is super invested in the Clippers. That series knotted up at one game apiece. We go back to L.A. tonight. The Suns are 2.5-point road favorites. I may pre-flop the Clippers on this, Brian, because the Suns in Game 2, their shooting percentage was through the roof. They were 58.8% from the floor, 50 of 85, 72% from mid-range, the best mid-range percentage in the last 10 postseasons of any team. So I just don't know if that's sustainable with that thin of a bench. I think I may pre-flop the Clippers, may play them first half as well. Before we go to Andy McNeil on hockey, can I just say something about the NFL draft here? Guess how many total props, total number of individual props, exist currently in Las Vegas, Nevada, for people to bet on?
I would say that there are First overall pick, I would say 5.
Okay, higher than that. Because stations by themselves, stations has a grand total of 27, 16 of which are team matched to a position. So they have 16 of those and 11 others. Okay, now, besides stations, you'd be over. None at the South Point, none at Circa, none at Westgate, none at MGM, none at the Wynn. Currently nothing at Caesars, even though they did have 5 before. And 2 props at Boyd, only one of which is active.
Oh, jeez.
Number one pick. So that's the landscape here. And I know we're not just a Las Vegas show, but that's basically what it is. 1 week before the NFL draft. Now, I'm sure some of these... By the way, give Chrissy some credit, because people were giving Chrissy here at the South Point a lot of guff for saying he wasn't going to post these. At least he had the gumption and the moxie to come on the show and say he wasn't doing it.
Yeah, the other people, I heard him say that.
Yeah, other people are a little more hypocritical about it, but he comes out and he's a man about it and says, no, we don't have it. My 6 props that I have, so my 6 bets that I've made, the one that I'm happiest with, of course, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba being the first wide receiver. I got him at plus 350. He is big minus money right now. The 4 below that, Smith-Njigba under 12.5, Roderick Jones over 13.5, Peter Skoronski getting drafted before Paris Johnson, and the over 4.5 quarterback selected, all those at stations. And then there's C.J. Stroud at number 1. I have those 2 plays. Everybody's saying it's going to be Bryce Young. AP, Associated Press, had a mock draft yesterday. Number 1 pick, C.J. Stroud. I'm just saying, I'm not as convinced as everybody else. And I'm certainly not convinced that Houston is not going to take a quarterback at number 2. I absolutely think they will. Andy McNeil on hockey next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Before we get to Andy McNeil, just wanted to follow up on that, what I was saying about the NFL draft. Because this is one of these, again, one of these moments in sports betting. Here we are a week before the draft, and it is fait accompli, according to everybody, that it will be Bryce Young at number 1. And whether you share my doubts about that or not, and I'm guessing most don't, right? Based on the betting market, most don't. One, let me just say this again. First of all, total collusion here, it feels like, on sportsbook's part. Like Lamar Jackson-level collusion, not having these props up. A couple will have them up for 24, 48 hours next week, and they'll act like, hey, look, we had NFL draft props. But I keep just getting back to the fact that did anybody watch C.J. Stroud like play against Ohio State and go 23 of 34 for 348 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, a defense in Georgia that had NFL talent all over the place? And I say this every year. What happens to people's brains between the college football season and the NFL draft and how they convince themselves of a groupthink narrative on something is mind-boggling and shows how impressionable human minds are. Bryce Young's still 5'10", right? All right, we'll see. But I do believe, even if that doesn't happen, even if it is Bryce Young at number 1, which, again, I have my doubts about, to me, Houston, this whole notion of Houston not taking a quarterback at number 2, I'll believe that when I see it as well. So for those of you who do have access to a number 2 draft pick, and you do if you have DraftKings in your jurisdiction, I still think it's... If you believe it's Young at 1, I still think it's Stroud at 2, at plus 275. I don't know how a franchise like that can pass up a quarterback. I just don't. Anyway, we'll see. A week from now, we'll talk about it many times between now and then. Let's talk some hockey. Andy McNeil, digital gambler in Edmonton, Alberta, joins us. It's digital gambler without the E-R at the end. Just jump to the R before you use the E there. That's how you get to him. And that's correct. That's right. That's how your Twitter handle is. Right, Andy?
No, I think it's ER.
Is it ER?
I think it's ER. It used to be Sprott's Gambler when I was just an anonymous Twitter troll. It's the ER. It used to just jump to the R.
Okay, I thought you did a weekend thing where he loses the vowel. Andy McNeil admitting to having been a Twitter troll for much time. Digital gambler, full word. There you go. Okay, it's a full thing. All right, let's talk before we get to tonight's games. I just want to ask you about two things last night. One, you're heavily invested in the Bruins. And again, I said this before. I was like, they have to be nervous. A lot of people gave me guff for that. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? They won 65 games. And the Bruins admitted, yeah, we're nervous. Because you started zero, right? And they didn't have the greatest win in game one. And then they kind of get rolled last night. How are you feeling as a Bruins better right now? Series knotted up at one apiece.
Well, as you can tell by the Florida Panthers hat, I'm having a bit of an identity crisis here today. I'm not really knowing what to do. But no, the Bruins, I thought they had jump in the first period. I thought they came out. They looked like they were playing loose. Like you said, they didn't have the greatest win in game one. And they kind of were playing in low gear, let the Panthers attack them wave after wave and just kind of capitalized on Florida's mistakes. Well, they came out with purpose in game two and really looked to be, looking to push the pace and score an early goal, which I kind of thought they would be. But unfortunately, the turnovers started to happening and they were costly turnovers. Boston just didn't do a good job of managing the puck, maybe being, like I said, playing a little bit too loose and Florida capitalized. Really, in the first period, the Panthers didn't generate anything that was not kind of created off a Boston mistake. So the game was well in hand for the Bruins, but they just let some bad habits creep in. And I think the loss of Patrice Bergeron is definitely being felt. I mean, that's something that I didn't take into account when I was making my original prediction. And now after missing two games, of course, you know, this is a bit of a concern here. I mean, the big thing at the start of the year was, hey, Bergeron's coming back. He's going to captain this Bruins team for what looks like one last season. Let's go win a Stanley Cup. They set all these records. Now they're in the playoffs. He hasn't played the first two games. Kind of troubling for sure. But I've got the Bruins winning this one still 70% of the time. I think that's a little lower than the market, around -235. So not in a great spot with my series spread, but I think there's lots of time left. And of course, Patrice Bergeron could find his way back in the lineup at some point here.
Yeah. Couldn't have anticipated that. That's for sure. Series adjusted price, Bruins -250, Panthers 2-1. I would assume there's no play there. If you were landing on this right now, you would not touch that?
No, I mean, I would take things on a game-by-game basis. Like, in fact, I've got the Bruins around -150 without Bergeron. So I'm seeing, or last night I was seeing anywhere from -146 to -163 as a game three money line price for the first game in Florida. If Bergeron does happen to make his way back into the lineup, then I think there would be some value betting the Bruins at -150.
All right, let's talk about these games tonight. Lightning at Leafs, Rangers at Devils, Kraken at Avalanche, Jets at the Golden Knights. These are all game twos. These are all game twos after the home team in game one, who are all favorites, got not just beat in game one, but beat handily. By four goals in three of those four cases. Let's just do them. I'll let you go wherever you want with this, but I'll start with the blanket question of, because I know you're on the Jets, so I'll assume that you think that the Knights perhaps are the most vulnerable, but if not them, who's the second most vulnerable, do you believe?
Well, I think it's got to be Toronto, only because there are some concerns about Ilya Samsonov, their number one goaltender. He was great for them this season, but there have been, you know, some kind of some evidence, I guess, that you could say that he's injured. He's making some awkward looking saves. He kind of was, you know, kind of paying a little bit more attention to his groin area, like his hip area on some saves that really stood out to some of the analysts that were watching him more closely. So I think that's a concern going forward, especially given that Tampa Bay was able to light him up in game one. But yeah, the Golden Knights, I think, are the most vulnerable. And, you know, the line move today, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I see Vegas taking some money here, the Winnipeg Jets up to north of +150 at some shops. And that really doesn't sit well with me. I think the Jets really put forth the most dominant performance of the playoffs so far from start to finish. They didn't give the Golden Knights anything. Vegas didn't have any answers. They were getting turned around in their own zone a lot. And I think that the Golden Knights will be better in game two, because it would be hard to be much worse. But even if Winnipeg brings half of what they brought to game one, I'm okay with them as a +130 underdog. So I'm certainly okay at +145 and +150.
Yeah.
I just don't see what the Golden Knights have done or what has happened that would cause such a change in the odds of the Golden Knights. And I'll be betting on the Jets, you know, going forward in this series until there's a reason not to.
Yeah, so that becomes your favorite play of the night, I would imagine. Anything else yes. specifically on these games tonight?
I mean, it's my favorite play of the playoffs yeah. right now. I think the Jets are the team to back. And I mean, once again, the line move just opposite of what I thought would happen, given how dominant they were in game one and how closely we thought this series was going to be matched up in the first place. But no, I mean, I've been, you know, trying to dabble a little bit in game, but
There you go, Andy McNeil.
It's tough with, I mean, you know, the two other matchups that I had some conviction in, the Devils, they go down 1-0. Not really ready to flip all the way over to the Rangers side, that's for sure, after one game. And the Bruins not getting it done in game two. But, yeah, I mean, the Islanders are a team that have, you know, intrigued me heading into the playoffs. But you look at both games versus the Carolina Hurricanes so far, they were both close. But it just seems like you look at Carolina, they aren't doing a very good job scoring goals, especially against Ilya Sorokin. And you know, laying those big prices on the Hurricanes doesn't seem to be all that rewarding or all that attractive. And New York, while I think, you know, they're the kind of side that I continue to lean towards, they just don't seem to be able to get it done. And that's going to be a big problem for them.
How bad was that high stick though? Martin Nuke on Scott Mayfield uncalled. I mean,
I don't know. It was a weird call because the Mayfield actually lifted his stick up. Like he bounced his stick up into his own face. So like, I mean, like the stick was on the ice. It never would have made it to his own face if he didn't bounce it up. So I'm not sure if there was a discretionary call there to say like, hey, you made that happen yourself, or if it was just a missed call. But I mean, I think the rule, as it is typically explained, is, hey, a player has to take care of his stick at all times, has to be in control of his stick. So I think it should have been a penalty, but yeah, unfortunately it wasn't.
There it is. Real quick before we let you go, because we've got to run. Which of these teams tonight, if they do fall behind 0-2, obviously we won't have the price, the adjusted series price on this, but which of these teams, if they fall behind 0-2, would you consider, would you be like, oh, I could see myself dabbling in a plus money price with them down two games?
Yeah, well, I think I would have to see how things go for the New Jersey Devils tonight against the New York Rangers. I mean, they didn't get off to a good start in game one, but you would expect a big pushback in game two. And if they can kind of establish themselves in this game, regardless of whether they win or lose, I'll consider backing them down 0-2.
All right. Andy, great talking to you. We'll do it many times during these postseason. And good luck with the Bruins moving forward.
I'm a Panthers fan now. I'm just gonna
he's done.
Just gonna give in.
He's out. Thank you, Andy. At Digital Gambler, spelled properly, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. JVT, our senior NBA analyst on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show host and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Real quick, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. J-Rod on the A's coming. It appears that the A's might be coming. We'll talk about this story a little later with Crack. He said, oh, we'll definitely be able to hear Wishnev on broadcast heckling players. Bainbridge, DeWeese, any tennis picks for the early AM? They were all overnight. They went 2-2. They all split. Hit on Potapova and hit on Green, but lost on Nori and lost on Rusevori. All of that at the picks page as well. This is Grayson Rossi having trouble with a local bookie on something. Well, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is from Jason H11. Hey, Gil, does Ortega know your sushi place? If so, what's his thoughts on bribery? We'll find out. He'll give us a restaurant recommendation coming up. Teasers and parlays. Gil, are the limited NFL draft props due to sportsbooks not wanting to book the event? Or are there regulations to where books are limited to what they can offer? They don't want to book it. Gilly Ice Butcher's my nickname. Says, what's Vegas going to do about booking the NFL draft when it's in Vegas? That was last year. Oh, then he corrects himself. He says, oh, yeah, I'm a year late. It's not juice if you win. Books putting out NFL draft props in a timely fashion is as likely as us getting SummerSlam and WWE odds anytime soon. And then Just Doug Thanks is with me. He's like, shortest, lightest, but real good is worth a number one on Bryce Young? No way. on and on with the tweets. We appreciate all the feedback. Let's talk some NBA. JVT joins us. Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst. He's also the host of the podcast Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with our buddy Kelly Bidlin. Kelly's not here, taking some days off. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. You know, it's been a fun postseason. No Kelly this week on the podcast because he's off on vacation, so it's going to be lonely, but we got some guests lined up throughout the entire week, so they will try to fill the massive shoes that are left behind by Bidlin.
Massive shoes. That photo shoot took it out of him, man. He couldn't do it anymore.
I think it took a lot out of all of us. I've tried very hard to take myself seriously, so hopefully they come out well. I did a lot of, like, catching and, like, pointing at the screen doing all sorts of stuff.
A lot of Heisman poses. What were you more surprised by yesterday, the Grizzlies' performance without Ja beating the Lakers or the way the Bucks destroyed the Heat without Giannis?
I think it's the jawless Memphis Grizzlies, right? And I think you can look at both, Gil, right, both results, and find, like, little points in which you're like, hey, you know, it's not entirely surprising that this happened. And, like, for Memphis, for example, I bring that up because, you know, is it surprising that Jaren Jackson Jr. would come out and dominate defensively the way that he did?
Nope.
No, not particularly surprising, but it's just the way that the Lakers just couldn't get back into that game. It was astonishing to look at a Lakers team that had taken home court, now facing a team that was without their best offensive player, and just essentially shriveling up and not being able to do anything against that squad. That was really surprising. But again, you know, there's always a bit of truth in a joke. I think there's always a bit of, like, legitimacy in a victory. And I think that there was some legitimacy there. As long as Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to stay out of foul trouble, which he has brilliantly through the first two games, they're going to be one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, Memphis is, and that really showed yesterday.
By the way, Giannis, I was speculating earlier, will probably be back for game three since he was upgraded to questionable yesterday. That is also corroborated by Coach Bud, who said Giannis' status for game three, uncertain. But Mike Budenholzer saying that, quote, they expect him to improve and are optimistic that he'll be ready to play soon. So,
by the way, can I say really quickly?
Yeah.
Just like they were optimistic for game two, right?
That's true.
Milwaukee is very annoying with the injury reports. Giannis has a very high rate of playing through doubtful tags. And I don't understand the point of upgrading him from doubtful to questionable and then ultimately ruling him out. I get that they want to do some sort of gamesmanship, but my irritation stems from quite the regular season where they played a lot of games with their injury reports, and it sounds like they're going to keep doing it until we know that until sneaker meets wood, I will not believe that Giannis is going to play, I guess.
Does that, and let me just sort of read between the lines, does that sound like you made some Bucks bets based on the upgrade, then when you found out he wasn't playing, had regret, and then it covered anyway? You're like, oh, good, but don't do that again.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
Absolutely correct. But it's still, you know, as somebody who also went through the grind of, like, the whole regular season, right? And you think, like, hey, we're in the postseason. We don't have to deal with the shenanigans when it comes to injury report. Now, it's still the same. But yes, it was like the shot that goes up and you're like, no. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right. That was all of us yesterday. All right. The three games tonight. Let's get the first out of the way. Mm-hmm. Sixers trying to deliver, not quite the knockout punch, but let's say the standing eight count to the Nets. 4.5-point road favorites. Can the Nets make this interesting? Can they get a win here tonight? Are you betting this?
They can, just as anybody can. And it's the way that they play, right? You know, as I talked about in the piece this morning, which is up on the website of VSiN.com, you know, as we know, Brooklyn's a high-volume shooting team. They take over 42% of their attempts from beyond the arc. In this series, 43.9% of their shots have been in the form of a three-pointer. And so when you're back home, right, and you have familiar shooting backgrounds and you're in your own gym, do you probably shoot a little bit better from three? And it's not like they've been shooting terribly. They're shooting 37% on a high volume, so they're shooting perfectly fine. So, yeah, I think it's perfectly possible that they come out, have a really hot shooting night, and maybe get a win. It's why, Gil, for this series, like, I have a bet on the series. I bet it under 5.5 games instead of betting Philly to win it in four because I wanted to give myself that one game of wiggle room in case Brooklyn comes out and shoots pretty well. So I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen here. There were two angles that I thought were worth looking at here, and I haven't bet anything yet, and I think I'm going to come back to the well with these Joel Embiid assists. We'll see if the juice moves at all, but we'll start there. You know, one of the theories that I had coming into this series was betting Embiid over on his assist prop because he's going to face a high volume of double and triple teams sometimes that leads to a lot of assist opportunities. Well, in game one, he had 3 assists in the first half, but still went under 3.5 because he didn't have any in the second half. Game two, he had 6. So those double team opportunities are coming, and I think that's still a little bit of an opportunity for bettors to come in. However, first two games, they were both plus prices, plus 110 and even money. Today, it's at minus 130. So we've seen a little bit of an adjustment. Not sure it's enough of an adjustment, but I have that circled. But really, I think the play, you know, a lot of people get like this, hey, down 2-0, coming back home, first quarter, first half trend. And I think a way to kind of back that without fully buying into it is to bet this first half over the total of 106.5. I think if you're expecting Brooklyn to come in and have a better performance, it is going to be a better offensive performance because Nick Claxton's not gaining 65 pounds overnight. That physical mismatch is still going to be there. But if they're going to be more active back at home, it's going to be with their offense while still not being able to stop Philadelphia. This is also the lowest first half total we've seen of this series. It's been quite the adjustment because they've been very slow games. I thought betting the first half over the 106.5 was a good way to go.
All right, game three in San Francisco tonight. Here's where it gets intriguing. Yep. Warriors trying to prevent the 3-0 deficit. No Draymond. Were you okay with the Draymond suspension? First question. And secondly, does the suspension take you off of pounding the Warriors into oblivion on this price tonight?
So I would say I was okay with it. Like, I was in the camp of if he got suspended, you understood it because it's Draymond Green, just as they cited in their statement about it. And if he wasn't, you understood it because of the situation that unfolded between the two of them. I think Domantas Sabonis was in that situation where he was like kind of shielding his face. And then he realized like, oh, I've got an arm, I got a leg here. Let me just kind of tighten up a little bit and see what happens. So like they were both at fault. And would I care either way if he got suspended or not? I don't really think so. But I do think that Draymond puts himself in this position. And I think that's why we're here where we're at.
Yeah.
As far as this game is concerned. So no, I'm not going to bet the Warriors into oblivion, as you mentioned. But I will say, I think this is actually a play to go over the total. And we're at 239 in some spots, 239.5. Some of the numbers behind this, Gil, in the regular season, the Warriors had a defensive rating of 120.1 when Green was off the floor, a -6 net rating. Opponent shot 69.6% at the rim. That's very bad if you're defensive, if you're on the defensive end. And they average 102 points per 100 half-court plays. They have a lot of trouble. They don't have really good on-ball defenders. Look at after Draymond got ejected in that game the other night. From the 7:03 mark of the fourth quarter and on, Sacramento went 11 of 15 from the floor. And most of those makes were within 4 feet of the basket or in the paint. They were getting to the rim with ease. So I think it's pretty obvious to look at this and go, they're probably going to have some trouble defensively here against Sacramento. But on the flip side, there's some shooting regression coming for both of these teams, for Golden State as well, against a, we'll call it a below average defensive team in Sacramento. I know their road splits are a little better defensively, but still a team that's pretty below average in terms of the way they defend. I think if we're going to get a similar pace we've got in the first two games, the best defender in this series is not on the floor anymore. I think this is going to be one that we're going to get this thing go over the total. And the last note on it too, Gil, if you go back to when these two teams played in the regular season, Kerr had a lot of trouble defensively with Sacramento, threw a zone out there a lot. And that's going to lead to more three-point shooting. Kings are a good three-point shooting team. So more three-point makes and attempts. I think this is one that's going to go over the total.
Over the total. All right. You got a minute here. Clippers, I would imagine, even with the Suns shooting 58.8% from the field and 72% from mid-range, you have to feel pretty good about your 1-1, your 1-1 margin, or should say score here in this series.
Yep.
Suns are favored by 2.5. You're betting the Clippers tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be Clippers money line here for anybody who hasn't gotten involved. As somebody who has something before the series began and has Clippers plus 2.5 games, I haven't bet it yet. I'm debating whether or not I just want to go all in or just sit back and wait and see if I can get my series thing home tonight. But regardless, Gil, I think but the interesting thing is the market's adjusting from game two as opposed to game one. Game one was 7.5, game two was 8.5, and here we are at 2.5, and that's a little bit of a swing off of that number. And I think you probably shouldn't make an adjustment, especially after the Clippers won that first game outright. And that regression coming for the Suns shooting. So I think the Clippers are in a good spot tonight to come in and get a win.
Boy, not having a bench. I mean.
Yeah.
And I know there's rest between games, but still, at some point you think that catches up with you. And maybe it does in this very series. JBT's been all over it. Been all over the Clippers. Good luck. Enjoy the games tonight, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Always appreciate it.
Jonathan Montobel at me, JBT, on the Twitter machine. Fox Sports, Chris Felica, what he's betting on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion to receive up to $25 back in bonus bets if your parlay with four legs or more loses by just one leg. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Yesterday, Mets' Max Scherzer ejected, facing a potential 10-day suspension. because that's the suspension that goes along with the sticky substance issue. He was pulled from the game, a game that the Mets eventually won anyway, 5-3 over the Dodgers. But it was Scherzer's hands and glove, very sticky. Home plate umpire Dan Bellino conducting the routine check. And then crew chief Phil Cuzzy concluding that it was way too sticky. And even though Scherzer was saying, it's rosin and sweat, it's rosin and sweat, they kicked him out of the ballgame. Buck Showalter really didn't put up much of a fight. I should point that out. But I buy into what a reporter was questioning Scherzer about afterwards. He goes, don't you think with all the technology available to us now that before the umps make such a ruling, they ought to check if your spin rate has changed? Because all that stuff is available. And Scherzer was like, I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that as well. Like, come on. Let's do these things properly. If there's no evidence to support it, stop. There's no if nothing's happening differently, stop. Brian Ortega, first restaurant recommendation of the day is?
Stanton Social Prime, which is at Caesar's Palace.
What's the name?
Stanton Social Prime. It's a really new restaurant. It's where Seersucker used to be. Very trendy, very cool. Really good if you're going to, like, before Adele or anything at the Coliseum. It's very theatrical. They actually, their signature dish is this, like, giant porterhouse steak that they hang from basically a wire, and then they light it on fire. Kind of how they do at Toco Madera, which is at the Aria.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the new trend, but it's very like 1920s circus acts and everything. But a lot of stuff going on, but it's, you know, very cool, very, very sexy restaurant.
Wow.
For anybody on a date or you want to impress somebody, Stanton Social Prime. It's not cheap, but it's very good.
Stanton Social Prime. Yep. Oh, I'm so hungry. And it's 7:47 a.m. More restaurant recommendations coming up from Brian Ortega. Chris Felica joins us. He likes a good restaurant. He's from Fox Sports. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate the recommendation. And I think when I head out there with my wife to go see Adele, it sounds like a wonderful evening.
Yeah. Stanton Social Prime. I wasn't even aware of that place.
Well, now you are.
I am. Chris Felica, who, ladies and gentlemen, comes on this show and talks not one sport, two sports, but like eight different sports with us. What are you betting most? Go ahead.
Can I add one? Can I add one to the list?
Please.
Technically, it's the same sport, but it's a different league.
Okay.
USFL. Everyone's talking XFL. But, like, obviously, Fox Sports has the USFL games, and to support their coverage, I've been looking at the lines and the rosters and the games and coming up with some picks for the USFL games. Actually, a couple of USFL plays that I like this weekend. The first is New Orleans laying 5.5 against Houston. Houston's offense was dreadful in the opener. Four turnovers, couldn't move the ball after halftime. And New Orleans was one of the better defenses in the league last year. And they really shut down Pittsburgh, who is probably going to be the worst team in the league. But the same thing, the Breakers brought in McLeod Bethel Thompson, who had played in the CFL for a long time. He threw for over 300 yards in the opener. I think less than a touchdown here. I like New Orleans to move to 2-0. And I like New Jersey-Pittsburgh under 37. I hit on how poor Pittsburgh was in the opener. Their quarterbacks were 10 of 27 for 81 yards. Their defense did play well, but at the same time, I wonder how long their defense can keep teams in games without their offense really helping out. I don't think Pittsburgh scores many points in New Jersey. They had some quarterback issues of their own to work out, but at the same time, they do have Darius Victor, who was one of the better offensive players in the league last year. He ran for almost 200 yards in the opener, so I could see this be a lot of running clock, a lot of running the ball. Pittsburgh not scoring much. New Jersey winning a close game, but under 37 in New Jersey, Pittsburgh, and New Orleans minus 5.5 against Houston. So we'll add the USFL to my numbers game ledger.
Wow, did not expect some USFL picks. By the way, when you said everyone's talking about the XFL, I think you your mouth auto corrected. Auto corrected from Fezzik to everyone's.
But the thing is, I appreciate the passion, and I really
do too.
And I will say this: last night when I was thumbing through Twitter online, your buddies at Right Angle Sports said that they had like 1,500 people or so online in like their group chat about the USFL. So people clearly love football. People want their action.
Well, people want their action. The second part of that is right. It all spends the same. This is what always kills me about it. You bet tennis, really? Yeah, it's all the same money, right? It all the same currency. The ability to sit through one of those games is a different story, right? That's right, that's a whole different experience. I don't know if you do that, but absolutely. If there's an edge to be had, my goodness, bring it on. The other thing that you're betting on, I know, rampantly these days is hockey. Islanders have disappointed you thus far? Is that the big – what are you most heavily invested in the NHL?
Well, I bet three series. I bet the Islanders plus money. I forget what the number is. Jets plus money. And I bet the Wild plus money. So I bet those three series. And I added something yesterday. I added Winnipeg to win the West at 12-1, and I added Winnipeg some Stanley Cup futures at 30-1. Like, look, they were – so Andy McGill outlined it pretty well in his segment as well. Like, they were so impressive in that game against Vegas. You get with Dubois, Wheeler, and Scheifele. They got three really good scorers. Obviously, one an elite defenseman in Morrissey, and the best goaltender in the Western Conference playoffs in Connor Hellebuyck. Like, this is, I think people forget how good Winnipeg was early in the year. They were like 31-16 at one point in the year. Then they struggled, and then they got it back together late in the year. But they're now favored in the series against Vegas. And do you trust Edmonton after what you've seen from their first couple games to get out of the series?
I don't trust any of these teams. Yeah,
I don't trust Colorado without Landeskog is clearly a different team. Like, there's a chance that we could see a real upheaval at the top seeds after this first round. And I think Winnipeg's got a good a shot as anyone to get out of the West. And if you're feeling a little frisky and have access to books that do it, you could parlay a little Winnipeg to win the West, Iga to win the French, and Man City to win the Premier League. And
now
you
we're talking.
Turn, you could parlay that and turn that into 31-1 or so.
All right.
If you got access to that, yeah, that's something that I've actually been doing with a lot of price players that I like. Like, I'll play Scottie Scheffler to win the PGA, parlay it with Iga and the French, and Man City in the Prem. Ohtani to win the Cy Young with Man City and Iga. Like, those are two things that I feel pretty strongly about. So trying to turn what might be an 8 or a 9 to 1 shot or a 4 to 1 shot, turn that into a bigger price, that's something that I've been doing quite a bit over the last month or 6 weeks.
Circa allows for that here in Las Vegas. By the way, you bring up Andy McNeil with the hockey plays. The VSiN Hockey Betting Podcast with Danny Burke and Andy McNeil, we should point out, available to all for all pithy hockey thoughts from Andy McNeil, previous guest on the show. So you like the Jets. Before you go here, we have 2 minutes. People most associate you with college football. How do you see the top two picks in this draft going right now?
I think it's going to be Bryce Young, and I don't think it's going to be a quarterback at two. I know you feel differently about that.
Yep.
But I think Bryce Young, yes, he's slight. He is the best processor of information of any of these quarterbacks in the draft. His ability to know what he's doing with the ball like 3 seconds before he actually does it, and that's the most important trait of a quarterback in the NFL, just being able to do that. The way Houston now has the second pick, they also have the 12th pick. There's going to be one of these guys that's going to slide down to 12, or what I think is more likely to happen is grab someone at the top of round two, like Jake Haener, or if Hendon Hooker slides down that far as well, if he doesn't go in the first round. Like, I think Houston just needs players. So I think they take Will Anderson or Wilson or Jalen Carter at two, and then we'll see what they do at 12. I think there's a good chance that Anthony Richardson will be there at 12 if they want to take him. But like I said, I would just take two instant contributors and not a project quarterback at 12, and then use your second round pick on a quarterback. So yeah, the prop that I like the best actually drove to Massachusetts the other day to be able to play it. And MGM didn't have anything up in the actual casino itself, but I was able to play at DraftKings the prop of will the top three picks be a quarterback, all quarterbacks. The no was like -275. I couldn't bet enough on that, because like I said, I don't think quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. But by the way, you mentioned that hockey podcast. Did you know that there's a golf podcast on VSiN? I didn't know that until yesterday, when at every single break they promote long shots with Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and Wes Ramirez. I'm gonna have to check that out one of these days.
There's a promo from you as well. We like it. It's called Long Shots.
Actually, it's great. I do enjoy it a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
We kick as we care.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Crack Man next.